Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And they shake hands on the Bruins bench. The Boston Bruins have punched their ticket to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Tuukka Rask registers the shutout, and the Bruins once again will be playing playoff hockey. Your final tonight in Newark. Bruins 3, Devils nothing.
Let's do a little Bruins. How do you feel about your hockey team heading into the postseason, Mess?
I mean, overall, pretty good. I like the way the roster's been reinforced from the deadline. I like how they're playing. You know, when I say they're playing, I'm talking about the fact that the second line has emerged. The first line's obviously elite. I want to see them get healthy on defense. But compared to where I was, say, a month ago, 3 weeks ago, when the deadline came, which was April 12th, I can't tell you how much better about them I feel now. Those guys have made a profound impact, and particularly Hall and Riley, although Lazar, too, all three of them. I think that they're a lot deeper and better than they were then, and I give them a shot to get out of the division.
Yeah, we're far removed from that point in the season, pre-deadline, trade deadline, where I think there were some doubters, myself included, that this team could even make the playoffs. So they look completely different. They're poised for a deep run. I still don't trust Tuukka Rask.
Okay, so I was definitely on the brink with the team. I never, you know, they were always like one loss away from pushing me over the edge to writing them off. I never quite did. They never quite got there. I never felt they got over the line.
Teetering, I think it was the term you used.
They were definitely teetering there for a while. And right now, I feel pretty good about them. I really do. I feel as good about them. I mean, I feel better about them now than I did last year. And then last year was really more about the goofiness of the pandemic and the long layoff and the bubble.
It felt like anything could happen, right? Just because of the setup.
Sure, exactly. And then Tampa's staring you in the face in the, you know, second round there. So I didn't feel that great last year. The year before, I did not feel they were a Stanley Cup team, and they, you know, ended up being a Stanley Cup finalist anyway. So I feel pretty good about them, and you should too. I mean, They've answered a lot of the questions, at least in the regular season context. I mean, they do have scoring depth now, and they do have a second line, and they are better 5-on-5. And the D is some question marks there for sure, but if they get healthy and they have a chance to do it now with the way they can monitor here in the last five games and sort of pick and choose when and where to play guys and really bring them along, they should have their full complement. You should be McAvoy, Lozon, Greslick, Carlo, Riley as a third pair guy. Like, that's a good spot. Kevin Miller, if he's healthy, like, he makes a difference, Maz. You've mentioned this before. They're like a different team when Kevin Miller's out there.
I think they need Carlo and Miller. They need them both. If they're going to beat the really good teams now. Mike, in the 12 games they've played since the deadline, they're 10-2. They've outscored their opponents by 21 goals, and they're the best 5-on-5 team in the league. Now, look, the schedule's been soft. Okay, it's been soft. But it's hard to pick at their play over that period of time. They've been pretty good.
And their goaltending's been excellent. Both guys are playing great. And, you know, you can have your doubts about Tuukka Rask, and there's really nothing we can do about that. They're not going to bench the guy going into the postseason. He's going to be the guy. And so that's just, you know, that kind of is what it is. And if you doubt him, you doubt him. There's nothing I can say or anyone can say. And your doubts are legitimate. That's all I would fight against. Anyone who, like, tries to shame you, you know, because you don't trust Tuukka Rask.
Oh, I just ignore those people now, please.
Some sort of hockey Nana, some sort of hockey Hardo, some sort of Rask Bobo, the boohoo Tuukka crew. Sorry, guys. He's 13 years in the league. He's had chances to win the cup, and he hasn't. So people are going to have their doubts. That's natural, and that's legitimate. But he's playing great. Who knows? Like, I would once say that I thought that Tuukka Rask was beyond being challenged by someone on the depth chart. I don't feel like he's that guy, or you're not taking my job. Like, I don't feel like Tuukka Rask is that guy, but who knows? Maybe Swayman's been so damn good and projects as the guy. He's no flash in the pan. This is the guy the Bruins are grooming, and this is the guy the Bruins have in their sights to be the next guy. So who knows? Maybe Swayman has got Rask's attention. to the good. I don't know. Rask is playing great. So what is it? You know, they've all been there now, all of them, to the point where they've been all at the knocking at the door and coming up short, which should help them the next time around. And then there's guys here that don't have a cup that desperately need one. And I think the whole operation, you know, how do you want to be viewed? The difference there between going to the finals four times and winning twice versus going three times and winning once is a big gap, you know. And so I think there's a lot at stake for this team, which sort of leads to the next thing, which I know a lot of you want to go to. So I'll just, fine, we can go to it, about did they just extend this window? Did they extend the window? We've been wanting to close the window on this team for years. I have, like, oh, well, that was the last crack they were going to get 4 years ago. And then they came back and they went to the finals. Well, that was the last crack. And then they won the President's Trophy last year. You say, well, that's the last crack. And then they get to the middle of this year and they look like just another team, an average sort of team on the way down. It's like, well, that window's closed. Nope, here they are back at it again. And Krejci looks as good as he's looked. Taylor Hall has completely revitalized him. And he looks as good as he's looked in 5 years, 7 years, I don't know, whatever time stamp you want to put on it, 10 years. And Rask is playing great. Both those guys are up. Like, have they just, you know, busted that window back open? Is the window not closed after this year? Because I keep wanting to say this is their last roundup.
Okay, so had you asked me this again 3 weeks ago, I would have agreed with your assessment of time to turn it over. Got to inject some new blood here and turn it over. You got to get younger. Now, having seen what it looks like for 3 weeks, here's where I am. Let me see the playoffs, and then I'll let you know. And the playoffs are a big part of it, because my point being, I'm open to it now. And you know what? Here's why. What do you have coming that has to get in the lineup?
Nothing.
What do you have? Like, if you had a kid in, like, if you had a Swayman, the equivalent of a Swayman at forward.
Yep.
I would look at you and say, make the switch. Make the switch. It's part of the reason I was willing to let go of Chara. Let Chara go. You got to give the reins to McAvoy. It's his team. You got to turn it over to McAvoy. So I was fine with that. And by the way, in retrospect, looking at that move, Riley probably wouldn't be here if Chara was. Right? So I think they came out ahead on that on both ends. But that aside, I don't think they have a guy in the minors that projects to fill that hole if you let Krejci go. Now, the one thing I will say, it's all about the money. If Krejci wants $7 million, bye-bye. See you later. It's over. If he'll take half of that, we can talk.
Yeah, well, so they could maybe trade for someone, given the cap space they should have and all the assets they have in terms of draft picks, right? Like, they could maybe trade for Jack Eichel, and then you have someone young. Or my guy Johnny Gaudreau could be a Bruin. He's a free agent.
So
you add a piece like that, and you still have some of these core guys here, you could extend the window.
You just round it back up with the guys that you have? That's sort of the question. If David Krejci wants to stay and he's willing to work with you on the contract, if Tuukka Rask wants to stay and is willing to work with you on the contract, both those guys have got to come down. David Krejci makes over $7 million a year. If he's willing to be a $4 or $5 million a year player, you take him back? If Tuukka Rask goes from being $8 million a year, the fifth highest paid goalie in the league, to $4 or $5 million a year and in the middle of the pack, you take him back? And he's the 1 and 1A with Jeremy Swayman. You do that?
No, just make room for the kid now. Like, I'm very biased, but I want Rask out of my life. Enough.
So I want a veteran to go with Swayman. It doesn't have to be Rask as far as I'm concerned, but I would want a reliable, you know, starting quality NHL veteran next to him. So that could be Rask. It could be. I'm not going to fight that. I just think there's so much to go before we get to that point. But again, you always want to jump ahead. I'm not pointing to you, Maz. I'm pointing to you out there. You just immediately want to go to that thing. So, like, I'll entertain it if you want to. If you're telling me you cut his salary and he really wants Tuukka Rask, really, this is the only place he'll play, as he said, and he has to be here. He's so comfortable here. He loves the slope rating at the Woodland, and his kid is comfortable here, and his wife, and all these things that are important to Tuukka Rask, and he has to be here. And you'll take the Braden Holtby contract, $3-4 million a year, to come here and be a 1-1A or a 2 to the young kid? Fine. Yeah, go ahead. Come on back. No problem. Fine. Go ahead. I'm not going to fight it. Krejci, you want to take the same kind of thing? Yeah. I mean, I guess. Yes. The one to me is Taylor Hall. Like, are you biting on Taylor Hall? This is a guy who, without the pandemic, well, last year signed 1 year, $8 million. If the caps were going up like they were normally up, and he sort of showed what he's showing to the league right now. He's winning, helped turn the team around, producing. you're talking about an $8, $9, $10 million a year player. He's not going to make that now because of the pandemic. The caps are flat. It's a hard cap league, unlike the NFL. So those numbers actually matter. So I don't think he's an $8 million a year player.
He's not.
Can you get him to come back? But someone's going to pay him $7 million. I don't know. Right now, the highest paid guys on your team are Bergeron at 6.8, Pastrnak at 6.6, Marchand at 6.1. He's got to come in underneath those guys.
Yes, indeed.
He's got to be at 6.
I think he's going to be 5.5.
Is he going to come in at 6? Let's just call it 6. Is he going to come in at 6 underneath Bergeron, Pastrnak, and Marchand? Will he? Because I would have to think someone's going to offer more, I think. So I don't know if you're the high bidder. What do you really want, Taylor? You know, you've said you want to be here. You know, you've said you want to be with a winner. Or do you want the biggest contract? If you want the biggest contract, I'd be surprised if he stays.
Yeah, so and this is why I say, though, look, again, all I'm talking about is the math here. And again, let me emphasize this. Let's see what happens in the playoffs. But I'm open to it now. I wasn't open to it 3 or 4 weeks ago. Now I am. Okay? And so if you can get Rask and Krejci for the equivalent of what basically you're paying one of them now, let's just call it $8 million. Okay, it's less than that. But if you can get the two of them for $8 million or a little less, and that's asking a lot, then you can re-sign Hall for $5.5 million and you still got money to burn.
They have room to do all of this, folks. I won't bear with all the gory details. They would have to let Mike Riley go, who I've liked. And a little something else would have to give. I don't know, maybe DeBrusk would have to be traded, or they'd have to let Nick Ritchie go, or Trent Frederick, things that I think would be palatable. So it's a tight squeeze, but you can do it. If Krejci, Rask are willing to play ball, if Hall's willing to take less than market value, you can do it. You can bring them all back. Do you want to? But aren't you really more concerned about what they do? What if they get into the second round and they face Tom Wilson and the Washington Capitals and they get their heads beaten in and they lose in 5 games because they're not tough enough? And Hall disappears because he's never played a series like that. He's never played a 7-game war with some thug like Tom Wilson. And he cowers. And David Krejci disappears because Hall cowers. And they get exposed on D. And Rask, you know, is kind of there, kind of not. It's the usual end of the season Rask thing. Are we all horny to bring them all back?
No. Your decisions are made for you if it plays out like that.
This is why I say, let me see what happens in the playoff. The playoffs are a huge deterrent. All I'm telling you now is that I had ruled it out independent of the playoffs. Now I've changed my mind in terms of I'm open on it. I'll wait and see on it. But there's a chance of what you're saying happens. And if it does, you know what you're looking at then. You're looking at a little bit of a rebuild.
So I'm far more interested in the next 2 months than I am the next 2 years. But be that as it may, you can discuss whatever you want, and we will hit on Tom Wilson and the Washington Capitals and what's waiting for you in the playoffs. You saw a glimpse of it last night. Are the Bruins ready for it? That and your calls right after this.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
No thanks.
Felger and Maz.
Those guys are always trouble.
I want nothing to do with this guy.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now Wilson.
Wilson's throwing punches.
Now, well, he went after an injured Snavich.
Oh, boy.
Now Wilson.
This is ridiculous.
Panarin.
What is Wilson doing? Now he's having a yelling session at the Rangers bench. And this is where Wilson loses it. That's where Wilson makes a mockery of the game. There was no call for what he did. I've always respected the man when he plays the game because he's a good player. When he does that kind of stuff and he's done
crazy,
he's been suspended for stuff, it's way out of line.
Yeah, well, we all saw it. And there are lines that can't be crossed in this game. And it's just, to me, it's just There's just zero respect for the game in general. And, you know, you got one of the star players in this league now who could have got seriously, seriously hurt in that incident. It's just, you saw what happened. It happens time and time again with him, and it's just, it's totally unnecessary. It's just, you all saw what happened. And it's just, like I said, it's just zero respect for the game and the players and everybody involved.
That's New York Rangers coach David Quinn. And we played you, you know, an edited version of the play-by-play of what happened last night. Capitals Rangers. Tom Wilson had a hair across his ass about something. An earlier penalty call against him earlier in the period, I think. There was a scrum on the side of the Washington Capitals net, or the Rangers net, excuse me. And he grabbed Bogdanovich, a hard time pronouncing the name, slammed his head into the ice, then got into a scrum, grabbed Artturi Panarin, sort of slammed his head into the ice, or tried to. As usual, Tom Wilson, it was borderline stuff. He's trying to hurt those guys, though. That was pretty clear. The league did not suspend him, only fined him $5,000. Maz, your thoughts?
He's a dirtbag. This guy's a dirtbag. And I'll tell you, too, that watching that thing, like, that's one of the few looking, and we throw around a lot of words when we talk about this kind of stuff. He looked like a thug last night. That's what he looked like. He didn't look like a hockey player. He didn't look like an enforcer. He looked like a guy that was out in an alley trying to smash people's heads into the ground. That's how it came off to me anyway.
The Rangers coach is right to say he has no respect for other players. He has no self-control. He has no respect for anyone else in the league. And I'm surprised he hasn't ruined somebody's career yet. And that he got a $5,000 fine and nothing else is insane. So the heads of the Players Association should be on the phone talking to the league today saying, like, this has to stop. Especially, like, did you watch this thing? Like, oh, not yeah. just him in real time, but in slow-mo. He grabs Panarin by the back of his hair, pulls him straight back, and then used the leverage to slam him into the ice. He could have cracked his skull and killed him. Like, yeah. I'm never that guy. He could have killed him.
There's something about when someone tries to take someone's head and slam it, that it's like, you know, it's like you're watching some sort of, you know, Netflix mob thing or whatever. Like, it's just vicious. It's barbaric.
Yeah, it's like animalistic bloodlust
yes,
or something.
Yes, it really
it's like
is.
On a different level.
And that's what it feels like with this guy. Like, he can't, he's psycho.
He can't control himself. And, you know, but his actions in a vacuum, again, are just borderline. The head did not smash against the ice, and he did grab him by the back of the shoulder pads. So you can't, you know, I can see the league not technically suspending him. I can see why they didn't, because in and of itself, it's not a suspendable act in and of itself. But he's just the master of being right on that line and trying to hurt you right on that line. And that's what's waiting the Bruins in the playoffs. First round or second round, that's what you got. Are you tough enough to stand up to him and them and that? Because you weren't against the Blues. So now here you are 2 years later. You get the same kind of team. Are you ready for it?
I don't know.
I mean, who is? I don't know.
I don't know. Look, it's the one thing I told you I'd feel a lot better about it if Miller's in the lineup.
Same. As long as Miller stays healthy, you have someone that can answer, you know, and it's just whether or not that knee holds up.
Okay. He plays mean, right? Miller can play mean.
Definitely.
Yeah, and that's what they need. If he's out, I give him, you know, I don't want to say zero chance, but I think their chances drop a lot.
Okay, so if you care, they have five games to go. They're playing out the string. They're going to be resting guys, load management, all of this, but if you want to avoid the Capitals, and you know, as long as possible, meaning just one round, if you want to just avoid them in the first round, hope that someone else knocks them off, watch those standings. You're in third right now. Are the Capitals in first or second? It bounces around. So it's all sort of tightly bunched. But one plays four, two plays three. So you can sort of affect that by either finishing third or fourth to avoid the Capitals. Do you want to play that game? I'm not necessarily sure that I want to play that game, because that's when I think you sort of ask for trouble. If you try and engineer your opponent, that's when you get into trouble. And it's only saving you one round anyway to avoid them. So I wouldn't play that game, but just keep that in mind. All right, so we'll get your thoughts on the Bruins, mixing them in with our Patriots stuff. Kevin in Cambridge on the Bees. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, so admittedly, Mike, I wanted this team to sell at the deadline. I didn't think they were good enough to make a run. But the moves that Sweeney has made are obviously working. So, Jim Murray, bend me over and shove that banana right up my tailpipe because I'm bought in.
Well, thanks for the call, Peter
King. Mike, if I could just quickly on Aaron Rodgers. I so badly wanted this guy to get traded to the Denver Broncos, not because I like the Broncos. I just wanted Jay Stu to bring back the Don sound. I need that sound back.
Believe me.
Every time I watch The Godfather, all I can think of is Mike Felger, love of him, some of John Elway.
Okay, the Don is lurking in the background on Aaron Rodgers. But on the Bruins, like, you don't have to buy in like, we're going to win the cup. Like, I'm not approaching it that way. I doubt many of our listeners would be. That's not really Felger and Maz kind of thing. But you look at the team, and you just sort of stack it up, and you say they should have everything they need to go on a run. They have the goaltending. They've got the depth of scoring now. Their power play is taking a turn for the worse, and I don't care. Like, I'm actually sort of glad their power play is struggling. They're forced to score 5-on-5. I think those teams are better anyway. And I feel like they've plugged some of their holes. And so they're good on D. They're good in net. They have gotten bigger and tougher. I don't know if they're as big and tough as some of the other teams out there. That's still a big question mark for me, but they've helped close some of that gap.
Getting healthy at the right time.
I mean, you should be looking forward to it. Tony and Stoneham on the Patriots. Go ahead, Tony.
I got to tell you guys something. Bernard explained it all to you. Here's what's going to happen. If Cam plays bad, you're going to see the rookie. That's how it's going to work. If you don't see the rookie, it's because the Patriots are going to be playing good. And the thing is this. You've got to understand, you quote all these guys, and they don't know any more than you know. All they're doing is assuming and giving you opinions, and you're repeating them. For the Patriots to get Garoppolo, the other team had to be willing to trade him. 49ers do not want to trade him this year, period. They have nothing to play in place of him. So, of course, Garoppolo's not coming back.
Okay.
One last thing.
Quick.
And the thing is, the quarterback that we got, this Matt guy, he is similar to Brady. He can't run.
Okay, very good. This first thing about, you know, if the team's not playing well, they'll switch quarterbacks. Like, it's so easy. Like Bedard. Like, it'll be all there on the field. It'll be so simple to see. How come it's almost never that simple?
It's because it isn't that simple.
I mean,
it's rarely that simple. Rarely.
The Dolphins did it this past year. They had a winning record. Fitzpatrick was playing well. In some respects, they took a step back when Tua went onto the field. I don't know how that locker room felt, but don't tell me it was like 60-0, or however big those rosters are, 62-0. Yeah, let's go with the kid. I mean, I've never seen a situation where it is that easy, unless you completely blow and no one cares anymore.
Yeah, it's right again. It's rarely that easy. I think there are occasions where the team's so bad you say screw it.
Right.
In which case, you know, it doesn't matter anyway. So to do it in the middle of the year is hard.
Especially because I think they're going to win. I think they're going to be a winning team. So I think they are going to be 2-1, 4-1, 5-2, 6-3, something along these lines. And so I think Cam Newton's still going to suck, and they're going to be winning. And so it's not going to be easy. It's not. It rarely is.
Yeah, I acknowledge that it will be tricky in there. My hope is that they can thread the needle and that they're 5-3, but their offense, it's similar to what Miami had last year, that they're 5-3 and their offense is meh, and the kid's ready to go, and he's been playing better than Newton in practice, and they say we're going to pull the trigger.
We'll continue with your phone calls right after Big Jim Murray's update.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Nitrane overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at granitecityelectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Maz.
One big kindergarten classroom.
Really is. Just slinging poo at each other.
Daycare for grown-ups.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
And we continue with your thoughts. Mostly football. We mix in some Bruins this hour as well. The Tom Wilson incident last night. That's coming your way in the playoffs. Nick in Wakefield, you got a thought on that?
I do, fellas. Come on here. When did you guys become so soft? Murray, why are you so soft about this? Did you see Buchnevich kick the goalie? That set him off right there.
Okay, so
the league needs more Tom Wilson.
Oh, my God. Would you stop?
The league needs more Tom Wilsons.
Okay.
If every team had a Tom Wilson, there would be none of that.
If every team had a Tom Wilson, there would be none of that. Well, the league's going the opposite direction, Nick. I'm sorry. Like, I mean, I know where you're coming from. I mean, I think you're barbaric and backward. But, you know, I like the way hockey used to be, too. It's going in the other direction. So every team does not only not have a Tom Wilson, every team is getting rid of their Tom Wilson. So, sorry, it's just all going in the other direction from us.
Yeah, look, that guy's just, I don't know what he's trying to do or what he's trying to emphasize. There's a difference between playing tough, hard, physical hockey and being even an enforcer and being a guy who tries to hurt people.
Yeah, there's a line. There's a line between, you know, a little bit of dirt, and I like a little bit of dirt. And I know Brad Marchand has, like, removed that from his game, but some of that dirt stuff that Brad Marchand would do, I like. But what Tom Wilson did last night, that's like straight up thuggery. It's there's no room for it.
I did not see Buchnevich kick the goalie. I'm sure the goalie's fine. Did the goalie have to come out? Was the goalie hurt?
Okay. I can't speak
so
to him.
I didn't see that part of the clip. But Tom Wilson grabbing Panarin, gutless. Gutless.
Trying to punch a guy's head into the ice.
But Panarin's completely out of his weight class. Panarin's a little power play guy. He's like, that's not someone Tom Wilson goes with, but you grab him, that'd be like, you know, it's like grabbing Pasternak and slamming his head into the ice. What does that prove? So you want more of that caller? The goon grabbing the light skill guy? Come on, you don't really believe that.
I mean, so again, you know, what the Bruins encountered with the Blues to me was a little different. Like, the Blues were bigger, you know, more physical. They pushed you around. You couldn't just handle the physicality. Last night was out-and-out thuggery.
Well,
that's what that was.
The Blues, did they have one or two guys suspended during the finals?
Yeah, was it Sundquist?
It was at least one. It might have been two. They were taking some headshots. So the Blues and Berube there, they clearly played on that line and over that line.
Wilson's different, though. He goes farther than that, to me, anyway.
Yeah, he'd fit right on that team. Matt in Woburn. Go ahead, Matt, on the Pats.
Hey, how are you guys? Taking me off speakerphone. I hope you got me all right.
Okay.
Just two comments real quick. I wanted to say that as far as Mac Jones' IQ and intelligence and everything, I'm all for that, obviously. Reason being is look at how many guys have come in here and can't learn the systems and just get ousted. And my other comment is if you're going to complain about the goalie getting kicked, that's like me punching a baby and saying my hand hurts. All right, no sense.
Okay, all right. So the intelligence of Mac Jones, boy, Bedard was all up in that. He's a big fan of Mac Jones. Big fan of Mac Jones's intelligence.
He's a genius.
I mean, seriously, already has his master's degree. In what again, Maz?
It's a sports hospitality.
Yeah, sports hospitality.
Sports hospitality, which means
more vodka, guys?
He greets you in the luxury box. Like, what does that mean? He's an usher. So, like,
that makes me feel that 90% of our sales staff is now underachievers. Well, how did they not get masters?
Well, if they went to Alabama, I bet they would.
Yeah, exactly.
A master's at Alabama in sports hospitality. So he lays out the schmear there in the luxury box. Like, so anyway, but I'll give it to him. Mac Jones is brilliant. I hope that
you guys want some fried okra.
I hope that translates. I hope that translates. You know, and that intelligence translates to football intelligence and all of that. Because, I mean, just Brady was football brilliant. I don't know how smart he is, like, walking down the street.
Yeah, if he's this smart and how he reads the field is undeniable after watching the film, could Belichick be a little bit more enthusiastic about him, please?
Like, Mike, I'll tell you, too, we got to look it up. And maybe this coincided with when you weren't here. I don't remember. But there was somebody in the draft process that said Jones in the backfield under pressure was scary. Scary. And you know what? It's
scary good or scary bad?
Scary bad. Scary bad. And so, like, you hear people say he moves well in the pocket. There were some other critics out there, and I can't remember who
it was. Let's get it. I want the pre-draft analysis, not the post-draft analysis. The post-draft analysis is kind of useless because you all shape it to fit what you want. We all do, right? So give me the pre-draft analysis before he was a Patriot, and that's closer to the bone. And to Bedard's credit, as I pointed out during his stint,
before the draft, when he finally looked at the Mac Jones film, he was raving about him. So Greg hasn't really changed his tune. I think he's amped it up a little bit. He really loves himself some Mac Jones. But he did before the draft too, so fine. I want the pre-draft analysis is what I want. So let's try and uncover that, Maz, shall we?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'll ask Jimmy during the break.
JT and Westwood on the B's. Go ahead, JT.
Well, what's up? So I just want to talk about the seventh player award.
Go ahead.
But it's not like who gets it. Is it going to be Kevin Miller or Nick Gucci?
Okay, I'll tell you what, JT. The seventh player award. Talk about an old school Bruins thing that Bruins fans love. Oh, they love the seventh player. If we want to do seventh player talk, we could do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't ask.
There's no shortage of dads out there that want to talk seventh player.
Seriously.
I know.
I mean, it's a Bruins thing,
yeah,
man.
That goes all the way back to Channel 38. Yeah.
You get a little Bruin in your pants over the seventh player award there. I mean, you're there, Joe Cotta. Like, did he win that? He must have, right?
Yeah, I think it was.
No, I'm sorry.
John Cotta.
John Cotta. He's from Medford, right?
Yeah, no, he's from Woburn.
He's from Woburn, right?
Yeah.
Flashbacks.
He was up in the. It was at 128 North.
John Carter. The thing is, I don't think they have a guy. I mean,
I think it's, well,
I'd give it to Swayman.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
I mean, it's
only
seven games or whatever he's played, but you tell me who's outperformed their expectations.
I would say Richie. I thought Richie was an absolute sack of styrofoam when they brought him back.
I mean, I think collectively we all didn't think he was on the team because we thought it was the other Richie season started.
Seriously.
No, it's true.
I thought Brett Richie, Nick Richie, to me, you can just cash both the Richies and see you later.
And I'll tell you, that line, Cassidy even mentioned it last night, like they got a little something with that line. They move Coyle to the wing. Corrali centers that line. I mean, that was a good goal last night, that Richie goal. That was... You know, that
good
was,
pass by Zboril.
That was a whole good play. Like, that was a line rush, a whole thing. I mean, there could have been four assists on that thing. That was good. Then that line kind of, they got a little something there. Coyle at right wing is woken up just a smidge. But maybe Richie is that seventh player. Who else could it possibly be?
Yeah, this year I think what they should really do is add the eighth player. They have more players than the Celtics.
Tanya, we could do it if we wanted to do it. Long commercial-free segment is next.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at granitecityelectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Please, Maz.
What the?
Felger and Maz.
What the F are we doing here?
98.5.
What are we doing?
The Sports Hub.
What I told the guys was, first of all, congratulations, because our expectations are obviously higher than to just make the playoffs, but it's still an accomplishment in this league. It's not automatic. Ask Philadelphia, who had a real good year last year, that won't be in this year. Dallas is fighting for their life. They went to the final last year. I'm sure they thought they would be in a bit better position they are. So it's not automatic. So first and foremost, it was, hey, good job. Now let's keep building for bigger and better things.
All right, little Bruins talk this hour. Mixing that in with our football conversation. Right back to you, as promised, Matt in New Bedford on Tom Wilson last night. Go ahead, Matt.
My first thing for this team, my expectations is bare minimum, they need to get to the third round. Game seven, overtime, you know, bounce here or there, you know, they make it, whatever. That's my bare minimum expectation. I think you're a little off base, Mike, when you say that Tom Wilson's actions last night were barely within barely on the line. To me, his first attack on Bishnevich on the ice, it kind of reminded me of Todd Bertuzzi and Steve Moore.
No, let me give you a better one. How about Sean Thornton here?
I was going to say that.
On Brooke, yeah. Orpik, is that who it was?
Yep, that's right.
Of the Penguins?
Yep, you got it.
Yeah, so...
Yeah,
look, if he's been suspended a million times. Everyone's got their backup on Tom Wilson. If it was an obvious over-the-line thing, he would have been suspended. The league is not soft. They aren't. They when he hit Carlo, they gave him, was it 7 games here? So, you know, he hit him just enough on this side of the line where you say, well, that's a scrum in front of the net, and he grabbed him by the shoulders, and the guys weren't hurt, even though Panarin's going to miss the next 3 games, I guess. But I can see why they didn't, because you look at it in a vacuum. If you start suspending guys for that, then then there's a lot of guys who are going to go down. So, like, could they have? Yes. I don't think it's an outrage that they didn't. All I'm saying to you is Wilson, all of his hits are like that. I said this before. All of his hits are like this. You can kind of explain it away. Well, he led with the shoulder. Well, he hit him here. Well, he only grabbed him by the shoulder. Well, it was a scrum with a bunch of guys going down to the ice. Like, his hits are always like that.
Yeah, I told you, there's something about trying to jam a guy's head into the ice that I just find to be, like, should be automatic. That one to me, you know, and again, I'm not going bananas over the league not suspending him. I'm just telling you, I think the guy's a thug.
Yep.
He is a thug.
And he's coming your way. Chris in the car. Go ahead, Chris. What do you got? You're up next.
Hey, Mike, guys, thank you. And I'm sorry, I know you guys don't remember last night, but and I wanted to get to this. I don't understand the North Division. If we can't go to Canada, how does this work? Playing Montreal, I mean, we'd love to see Montreal in the playoffs.
Yep, let me tell you. Let me just answer you. He asked, in case you couldn't hear because of his lousy phone, how's it going to work in the North Division? There's still quarantine, don't you know? You can't go, you can't cross the border, eh?
They're treating that country like Somerville or Brookline. Like, we all have to live with this now. Like, let's go back and forth. This story annoys me to no end. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, no, go ahead. Let it out then.
Well, it's just because at some point, a Canadian winner, like through the first 2 rounds, you can do this, but then eventually a Canadian team's going to have to play an American team, and we can't have the teams go to Canada because they're still quarantining. Like, again, it's real. It's all terrible, but we've all had to live with it now. People are getting vaccinated. You can at least let the teams, doesn't mean the fans have to go, the teams can go to Canada and back and forth. Like, what are we doing?
You know my larva top?
Tarp
that I wanted to put over, Yosemite, because that's a big apocalypse risk.
Yeah.
I'm going to put a bubble over the entire country of Canada.
Love it.
No, what they're going to do is they're going to relocate a Canadian team to the U.S. like they have the Toronto Blue Jays and the Toronto Raptors, and they're going to have a home base here in the U.S., and that's going to be where they play. It's going to be simple as that. And I think, Toronto goes to Buffalo or something like that. And so they'll figure it out is the answer to this question.
Yeah, you don't have to do it till the semifinals anyway.
Exactly.
Right?
So let's...
I'll tell you, just quickly, that is one thing that does make handicapping the league much more difficult this year. Everybody's just played the same teams over and over again.
Yeah, you really don't know how you stack up against Tampa.
You don't.
So
look, you have Washington and Pittsburgh to go against, but you don't know about the rest of them. You really don't.
Wayne and Grafton, go.
I wonder what Chara thinks of his teammate, Tom Wilson. You know, guys, I like violence in hockey, but throw the punches, fight fair. Mike, I remember Kyle McLaren.
Of course.
So the last game of the year, the Bruins, I think they play the Capitals, send out a Bruins marginal player and have him Kyle McLaren him, because Wilson wouldn't have made it in the 70s. Wayne Cashman would have carved his effing eye out.
Okay, Wayne, thanks for the call. Grabbing Artturi Panarin is gutless. That's gutless. Like, could you grab a smaller, weaker player than that, Wilson? Like, that is, that's not suspendable, but... Like that, he should be ashamed of himself that's the guy that he grabbed.
Yeah, and then he body slammed him, basically, or tried to.
Give me a break.
Slam him down. The part that bugs me is slamming down into the ice. Go ahead, Tommy.
Yeah, it's Tommy Lynn. Go ahead, Tom.
What's up, boys? I have a couple takes with you. All right. First take, Taylor Hall needs to get a payday. And also, Rask, if he sucks in one of the first games, you pull him. And you put in the kid, Swayman, and also, guys, here's another take. Wilson, when we play them in the playoffs or when we play them down the road, Kevin Miller needs to give him a beating to see how he likes getting dragged on the ice with his head down.
Thanks for the call, Tommy.
There's the Lynn and Tommy.
No, the beating. Yeah, he needs to be beaten.
What a great what a great line that is. Yeah, you got to give him a beating.
What's the leash on Rask, Maz? I mean, not for you.
Yeah, yeah. No,
for them.
Oh, it's more than one game. If he has a stink bomb, they'll give him a couple, at least, I think, depending on how the kid's playing. Remember, the kid could slip up, too.
Series tied 2-2. Game 5. Rask craps himself. They lose 5-1. Bye. Bye. Well, that's
no,
it.
No, so, I mean, Murray, you'd give him the gate now. What do you think the team, you know, handicap how Cassidy and Sweeney.
Cause they're down 0-2 in a series. It's looked real bad.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, if they're down 2 games in a series and he's looked bad.
That's what it's going to take.
Something like that. And that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot. Now you're desperate, right? Because if you lose the next one, it's over. So it'll be something like that.
What if he's just, like so many of his playoff performances, he's good. He's not the reason you lost, but he also didn't carry you. He didn't put you on his shoulder. He didn't steal anything. He just stopped what he should have stopped, let in what, you know, no one's going to blame him for the goals that he let in. And God, there's been so many of those over his career. What if that's what it is?
I doubt they'll pull him.
Yep. He plays every game in the postseason.
They've been around it long enough. If you see the tremors, like if you feel it, if you just can see it, you know, pull the plug, guys. Like, let's not do this again.
Steve in Boston, quickly.
Mike, so anyway, Wilson was given the A when Ovechkin went out, so the team obviously likes him. But I was watching teams out of market this year since you can't see those. You're not playing those teams. And let me tell you something. All of these teams, like Vegas, Minnesota last night and everything else, they're all big, fast, and physical. So the Bruins are kind of – they're a good team, but they're a tweener team. They're not fast enough, like Montreal, to take you into that game, yet they're not big enough.
Well, Montreal's gotten bigger, too, now. Montreal got bigger with Anderson and – is it Tenorti? No, not Tenorti. That's who you got. Who's the other guy they got? Anyway, they got a little bigger. Montreal's gotten a little bigger. So you're not going to be the most physical team in the field, and you're going to go up against, starting with Washington, never mind getting out west, you're going to face bigger teams.
The bigger teams worry me more than the faster teams.
Can you stand up to it?
Yeah, again, because I think those faster teams, if they start to play wide open, the Bruins have enough skill that they can win those games. And they'll be more physical against those teams, and they'll win those other battles. Those teams don't scare me as much. Not anymore. Years ago was the opposite.
Right, exactly.
Right? But I think now the Bruins have, you know, if you open up the game for Marchand and Pasternak and Bergeron and now Taylor Hall, yeah, I think that they can handle that. Not to mention McAvoy and Grizzlick. Like, I think they got enough there. But if you go up against a team that's going to beat the crap out of you for 7 games, I don't know if they can hold up.
Okay, we've got an update from Murray. Takes 90 seconds. There are no commercials. We come back. We'll reset some of the big boys' performance today. The big boy, Greg Bedard, did a special Tuesday post-draft edition here on Felger and Maz, and he loves himself some Mac Jones. Wait till you hear some of this. It's all coming your way. No commercials.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.